नमोम विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनि नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। So thank you all very much for joining today's session. We have been discussing from the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita. I apologize, last time I was quite tired because it was a very very long day for me. I already had three other sessions and by the time I started the Bhagavad Gita session I was totally drained out. So I could take only the session for about 45 minutes to 50 minutes last time. So I apologize. Today we will try to do the whole session, Krishna willing. So we have been discussing from the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So before we start, I would like to make this point very clear. Even though Srila Prabhupada, for most of the chapters in the first, or for in most of the sections of the first six chapters, even though the chapter itself is describing about either Karma Yoga or Jnana Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga, Srila Prabhupada, his explanations are more or less describing Bhakti Yoga only. The reason being, in this particular day and age, the other yogas are almost close to impossible to perform actually. The bare foundation of all the other yogas is Karma Yoga, and Karma Yoga requires very very pure ingredients, a clear understanding of one's own varna, and a very pakka proper chanting of the mantras and performing the all the particular yajnas and everything so precisely. So if one can do that, then gradually one can progress and then eventually become detached and perform nishkama karma yoga, and then the heart can become purified. And this purification of heart by practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga is a prerequisite to practice Jnana Yoga. It is a prerequisite to practice Ashtanga Yoga, by which one can achieve impersonal liberation. So, but in today's day and age, no one knows their Varna, most of them. And even if they may claim to know their Varna, they may not perform prescribed duties properly. Even if they perform their prescribed duties properly, they may not be performing an occupation that is according to their prescribed varna. And if one is not performing an occupation according to their prescribed varna, then it leads to sinful reactions. Then such a person does not progress, and such a person cannot reach the stage of Jnana Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga for that matter. And even if they may perform their prescribed duties properly, even if they may have an occupation that is in line with their, you can say, varna, then still, for the success of that particular sacrifice, they need, hota, udgata, advaryu, brahma, these four different kinds of brahmanas, some of whom will chant the mantras, some of whom will be sitting on the sacrifices and offering the oblations like that. So all of them should be pure. They should know what they are doing. They should not be making a mistake. So it's like very, very critically dependent on so many different things, which in this age of Kali Yuga is practically impossible. So when we are at an age where no one can tell you, or very few people can actually properly find out what your varna is, And even if they, like, we had this exercise, I remember once we had this exercise with Shyamlal Prabhu, and I remember once probably I had this exercise with probably Madhavanand Prabhu in our Thursday session, and I think once maybe with Lokanath Prabhu also we had this session, we had this exercise. Well, what if we do a search Varna check on you, and if you find out that you are not qualified for your nurse profession, you have to beg and sustain because they found out that you are a Brahmana by nature. So this occupation that you are doing does not suit your Varna. You will be accumulating sins. So are you ready to give up your occupation? So practically all three of them said no. No, it's absolutely not possible. So, and many times people say, oh, Prabhuji, I am, you know what? I am not a Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, one very common misconception that people have. People say, Prabhu, I may not know my guna. I may not know my nature according to nature, whether I'm a Brahmana, Kshatriya, that is okay, na Prabhu. According to my occupation, I'm a Vaishya. According to my occupation, I'm a Kshatriya. According to my occupation, I'm a Shudra. So, what is the problem? I may not know what my Varna is according to my nature, but you can guess my Varna according to my occupation. Well, this is totally wrong. This is not right. Varna is not according to your occupation. Rather, Varna is according to your guna, and your occupation has to be according to your Varna. It's not that just because you choose an occupation, that becomes your Varna. This is a big misconception people have. That, I don't know my guna, no problem, but I know my occupation. So from my occupation, you can guess me Varna. No, no, no. That is not right. Your occupation does not suggest your Varna. Rather, your occupation should suit your Varna. If your occupation is not according to your Varna, you're accumulating sinful reactions. So therefore, this is a very dicey situation. So that is why Prabhupada, he might have chosen to describe Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga in the strictest way, just like the other Acharyas are describing. But what purpose would it fulfill when there is absolutely no practicality of following it in today's day and age? Very difficult. What utility does such an explanation have? So therefore, Prabhupada takes a very practical approach. Those sections which describe about Karma Yoga or Jnana Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga, Prabhupada takes those verses and describes how some aspect of that verse has relevance for devotees also. So in that way he describes. So it may give an indication as if Krishna is speaking in this verse about bhakti only. In reality, he is not speaking about bhakti. He is speaking about karma yoga, jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga. So all the other acharyas are describing. But Prabhupada takes a very practical approach. What are you going to gain if I describe karma yoga? Will it be practical for you to practice it? Who is going to find out your varna? And if they find out your varna and it is not suiting your occupation, are you willing to give up your occupation? So these are practical issues. And even if you may be very pure, the other Brahmanas who may be assisting in your performing your prescribed duties, prescribed yajnas, they may not be pure. So how are you going to accomplish perfection of your karma yoga and eventually practice jnana yoga or ashtanga yoga? How is it going to happen? So that's why from a more practical point of view, Srila Prabhupada says, forget it. Just hear about bhakti. Prabhupada takes this very unique approach, which is very practical for us, right? So because so in that way, we have to see. But having said that, this third chapter is purely speaking about Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga. A relative comparison, or you know, a contrast is brought out between Nishkama Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga. There is no discussion of bhakti in this chapter. Okay, so we are essentially going to, we have been trying to understand Nishkama Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga through this chapter. So we have to be very clear. So in one sense, in terms of practice or sadhana, this chapter does not give any indication for a devotee sadhaka to perform his sadhana, because this is talking about practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga, for which a devotee does not have adhikar for Nishkama Karma Yoga. He has adhikar for Bhakti Yoga. So one has to very clearly understand this very foundational aspect before we approach this. This is very important. This is very critical. So with that foundation, I will do a quick recap of what we have seen till now. We have completed till the 13th verse of this third chapter. So the third chapter starts with a question asked by Arjuna, where Arjuna is confused. In the second chapter, Krishna glorified jnana to be superior to karma. He described that this jnana is certainly superior to karma, and he very elaborately described the position of a sthita pragya and glorified that sthita pragya very much. He did not glorify a karma yogi so much. But whenever it came to instructing Arjuna in the second chapter, Krishna instructed Arjuna to perform karma. Karmanyeva adhikaraste ma phalesh padachana ma karma phalahetur ma te sangostva karman. So in this way, he clearly indicated Arjuna should do karma, having glorified jnana as being superior to karma. Now, Arjuna gets a very natural question. Look, if you have very clearly identified jnana to be superior, then shouldn't you be instructing me to perform a superior path? Why are you instructing me to perform karma, especially after very clearly presenting to me that karma is inferior to jnana? This is the question that he is asking. Kayasi chet karmanaste mata buddhir janardana. Tat kim karma niyojayasi keshava. If you have clearly ascertained that jnana is superior to karma, then why are you engaging me in this ghastly warfare in karma, and that too amongst karma, engaging me in this warfare of fighting on the battlefield where I have to be responsible for so much bloodshed? Ghore karmani niyojayasi tat kim. Why are you doing this to me when you have certainly ascertained that jnana is better, that sannyas is better? Let me just go to the forest and become a sannyasi. You have clearly told that is better. I will also become a sthita pragya, like that Arjuna is telling. And then he says, vyamishrenaiva vakyena buddhim mohayasivame tad ekam vada nischitya yena shreyoham apnya. You are trying to confuse me, Krishna. On one hand, you say jnana is better. On the other hand, you say, you are telling you do karma. What is this? Tell me one thing very clearly. If you are very clearly telling that jnana is better, I will do jnana. I will take up sannyas. I will do jnana yoga. Then you should not be asking me to perform karma yoga. So be very clear. Don't confuse me with this equivocal language, with this equivocal presentation. So Krishna very clearly clarifies in one verse only that Lokesmin Vividhanishta Pura Prokta Mayanaga Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam Karma Yogena Yoginam. O Arjuna, it is true that I presented Jnana to be superior to Karma. But that does not mean that everyone should do Jnana Yoga. It is like if I am telling that 10th grade physics is more evolved and better than 5th grade physics, that does not mean I am recommending a 5th grader to study 10th grade physics. He should have the qualification also, no? So he says, Lokesmin Vividha Nishta. Nishta here means adhikar, qualification. In this world, in general, he is talking about. Of course, there are multiple adhikars. In this world, generally, you can say there are people with two kinds of qualification. Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam Karma Yogena Yogini. He says, those who are qualified for Jnana, they practice Jnana Yoga. And those who are qualified for Karma, they practice Karma Yoga. So, which means there are two kinds of people, Krishna, Arjuna. There are those who have qualification for Jnana and those who have qualification for Karma. Did I glorify Jnana? Yes, I did. Did I ask you to perform Karma? Yes, I did. But why? Because you are not qualified for Jnana, you are qualified for Karma. Therefore, I asked you to perform Karma Yoga. In that Nishkama Karma Yoga, I asked you to perform. So, you should understand that there is two kinds of qualification, Jnana and Karma. Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam, Karma Yogena Yoginam. As I mentioned before, this chapter primarily presents a contrast between Jnana Yoga and Karma Yoga only. We have not entered into the realm of bhakti yet. Okay, so we should understand that this whole discussion is not about us. This whole discussion is not about our practice at all. Okay, this whole discussion is about a class of people who have accepted the Vedic system but are not qualified for Shuddha Bhakti. So, if they are not qualified for Shuddha Bhakti, then they have to take the gradual path of Sakama Karma Yoga to Nishkama Karma Yoga to Jnana Yoga and then liberation, or Sakama Karma Yoga to Nishkama Karma Yoga to Ashtanga Yoga and then liberation. So, this is the path which is suggested for those who do not have faith in pure devotional service but have embraced the Vedic realm. So we are talking about the practice of those people. We are not talking about practice of sadhakas. So with that slight mode of detachment you should hear. Definitely, Arey, Krishna is telling like this but I am not doing this. Wait, wait. Krishna is telling like this for someone else, not for you. So, therefore, here at this point, Krishna has not yet introduced bhakti. He is just making a contrast between Jnana Yoga and Nishkama Karma Yoga. So, therefore, here he is telling, he is not talking about Lokesmin Chaturvidha Nishta. There are four kinds of qualified people: Karma, Jnana, Yoga, and Bhakti. He does not. He says Lokesmin Dvividha Nishta. There are only two kinds of people: Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam, Karma Yogena Yoginam. There are those who are qualified for Jnana, who practice Jnana Yoga, and those who are qualified for Karma, and they practice Karma Yoga. Okay. And then in the next verse, he says that Na Karmanam Anarambhan Naishkarmyam Purushoshnate Na Cha Sannyasanadeva Siddhyam Samadigacchati. He says, Arjuna may say that, well, I may be qualified for Jnana. Or he says that, and in this verse he says these two kinds of qualifications are actually progressive. You become qualified for jnana by properly practicing karma only. The qualification for jnana yoga which is purified heart. Because at the stage of Jnana Yoga, you meditate on Atma. One meditates on self-realization. But to meditate on self-realization, one must have a heart which is free from all kinds of material desires. Because if there are material desires in the heart, then one cannot focus on meditating on the self, on self-realization. Therefore, one has to have a very clean heart, a heart which is completely free from all kinds of material vasanas. And that is possible only by practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga. So that's why he says, Na karmanam anarambhan naishkarmyam purushoshnute. Purification of heart is possible only by practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga. Nacha sanyasana deva siddhim samadigacchati. Just if you say, just by renouncing your prescribed duties and take to sannyas, you will not attain perfection. You may say that, I will just go sit in the forest and try to meditate. Aaj nahi hai to kal, kal nahi hai to ek mahine ke baad, ek mahina nahi hai to ek main atma ke prati dhyan kar paunga. Ye practice kar kar ke ho jayega. Ye practice kar kar ke hone wala cheez nahi hai. That's what Krishna is telling. A blind man, just by practicing to a blind man cannot see colors. So if you give him a blue colored ball, a red colored ball, and a white colored ball, and ask him to identify which is red, which is black, which is blue, he will not be able to identify. And if you say, "Theek hai, aaj aapse nahi ho raha hai, thoda practice karo ho jayega." Matlab, a blind man, how much ever he practices, he will never be able to identify colors. Similarly, a person whose heart is not yet purified by practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga, how much ever he practices, he cannot perfect the path of self-realization. It is not possible. He will not be able to meditate on the self because his material desires will distract him. So therefore, he says, no, it is not possible for you. How much ever you may take sannyas and practice meditating on the Atma. You may take 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, you will never be able to attain perfection because the means of purifying the heart is not sannyas. Means of purifying the heart is Nishkama Karma Yoga. So do get back to performing your prescribed your Varnashram duties, purify your heart, and then come to meditate on the self. That's what he's indicating here. And then he says, Nahi kaschit shanamapi jatu tishtatya karma krit karyate hi avashak karma sarva prakriti jair gunaihi. Arjuna may be very adamant. He may say, no. Give me a chance, Krishna. Give me a chance. Give me a chance. I will somehow practice and perfect. I will take up to sannyas and I will somehow achieve perfection. So, Krishna says, come on. Please don't joke around. Nahi kaschit shanamapi jatu tishtatya karma krit. You think you will be able to follow your sannyas in the forest by not performing your prescribed duties. He says, every conditioned soul, you are still a conditioned soul, your heart is still filled with all kinds of material vasanas. So those material vasanas will anyway push you to act according to your nature. You will not be able to not perform activities according to your nature even for a moment. It's just a question of time. Later he says, Nigraha kim karishyati. What can repression accomplish? You cannot repress for long. because the nature is there, it will push you to act. And when you, as a conditioned soul, you will eventually act according to your nature. But because you have accepted sannyas, you are not allowed to act according to your nature, because your nature is expected to have been purified by then. So a sannyasi does not feel angry. A sannyasi does not feel, अरे आज थोड़ा मुझे आइसक्रीम खाने का मन कर रहा है. A sannyasi does not feel like that. चलो आज थोड़ा पिज्जा खा लेते हैं, एक दिन थोड़ा चीट डे, लेट मी हैव अ चीट डे टुडे. अ सन्यासी डस नॉट गेट सच डिजायर. बट अर्जुन, यू आर नॉट फ्री फ्रॉम दोज डिजायर, एंड दोज डिजायर्स विल एवेंचुअली पुश यू टू एक्ट इन दैट डायरेक्शन. बट एज अ सन्यासी, इफ यू एक्ट लाइक दैट, यू विल गेट सिंफुल रिएक्शन, यू विल गेट सिंस, बिकॉज इट इज नॉट अकॉर्डिंग टू योर आश्रम. So you will be in a soup. So don't even consider the path of jnana. You are not yet ready for path of jnana or sannyas. Then he says, then Arjuna says, look Krishna, I have full confidence on my mind control. I have full confidence on my sense control. You leave me in the forest. You leave me in the forest. In the 14 years of Ajnatavas, you know, I sort of did not allow my senses to run here and there. I fully controlled my senses. So if I could do it for 14 years, I might as well do it for a few more decades and remain a sannyasi in the forest. You will never see my senses running here and there. That much assurance I can give you, Arjuna may say. Krishna says, well, Arjuna, you have really misunderstood what sannyas is. Sannyas does not mean not engaging the senses in the objects of senses. It means sense gratificatory desires also should not come in the heart. Karmendriyani sanyamya ya aste manasa smaran indriyartan vimudatma mithyacharasa uchyate. So he says, karmendriyani sanyamya, you may completely control your senses, but can you give guarantee, Arjuna, that your mind will not even think about the sense object? Arjuna says, well, oh, that's a very tall order. I can give guarantee for my senses, but not for my mind. My mind will, I cannot control my mind, but I can control my senses to some extent. So he says, then you are not sannyasi. Because a sannyasi means not one who is just controlling his senses, but his mind, as Krishna described in the previous chapter. What is that verse? Sankalpa Prabha, not that. He says, Sita Pragyasa Kabasha Samadhistasya Keshava Sitadir Kim Prabhasheta Kimasita Vrajeta Kim. And then the very first verse after that, Krishna says, what is the Sita Pragya? So, what is that verse, anyone can recollect? 2.55. What is 2.55 Bhagavad Gita? Mana sarvan partha manogatan atmanyevatmana tushta sita pragyastadochate. What is that? Sarvan partha manogatan. What is that verse? Okay, someone is helping me here. Yes. Prajahati yadakaman. Thank you very much. Yeah. Prajahati yadakaman sarvan partha manogatan. Atmanye vatmana tushta sita asya pragya pratishtita. He says, Prajahati yadakaman sarvan partha manogatan. So a person manogatan kaman. Manogatan kaman means desires born out of material vasanas, prajahati, prakrishta rupena jahati, one who has absolutely given up all desires which are born out of material vasanas. So which means he is putting a very tall order on us. Who is qualified for sannyas? Who is qualified for jnana yoga? That person, not that person who does not act on material desires, but that person who does not even get a material desire. Can you guarantee that? That is the question that Krishna is asking Arjuna. Can you guarantee, Arjuna, that you will not even get a material desire? What? I'm not talking about not acting on material desire. I'm talking about not even getting a material desire. Can you guarantee that? So Arjuna says, well, I don't think so. I don't think so. So he says, then such a person who thinks that I am a sannyasi because I will not act on my material desires, such a person is a mithyachari. Mithyachari means a deluded person. Rather than a person who is pretending to cheat others, he is rather a misguided person. The real meaning of mithyachari is not a person who is trying to cheat others to make money or something like that, but he is a person who is misguided, who is ill-informed. Okay, so that's what he says. Karmendriyani sanyamya ya aste manasa smaran indriyartan vimudatma mithyachara sochyate. He says this kind of a sannyas is no use. This is not sannyas, he says. On the other hand, he says, yes to indriyani manasa niyamyara bate arjuna karmendriya hi karma yogam asaktah sa vishishyate. Yes, on the other hand, I would tell you, Arjuna, yes to indriyani manasa niyamyara bate arjuna karmendriya hi karma yogam. Instead, if you without being attached to the material results, if you engage your senses in the activities of Nishkama Karma Yoga as a grihastha, because Nishkama Karma Yoga is for grihastha, right? So better than a sannyasi, better than a person who has accepted sannyas without having purified his heart, is a grihastha who is properly practicing his Nishkama Karma Yoga for purifying his heart. So, a qualified grihastha properly engaged in his Varnashram duties is much better than an unqualified sannyasi whose heart is not yet purified. So, this is very important. Sannyas cannot purify the heart. Sannyas is not meant for purification. Sannyas is meant for meditation on the... And meditating on the self, the heart must be pure. And sannyas cannot purify the heart. This is the point that he is making here. It is better to be a qualified grihastha properly engaged in Nishkama Karma Yoga than an unqualified sannyasi who has prematurely given up his Varnashram prescribed duties. So therefore, in conclusion, Krishna tells Arjuna, Niyatam kurut karmatvam karmajyayohi akarmanaha sharira yatra pichatena prasidyeda karmanaha. Therefore, O Arjuna, Niyatam kura karmatvam. Therefore, again he is telling, Karmanyevadikaraste mafaleshu kadachana 2.47, that which Krishna told Arjuna, same thing he is repeating here. Therefore, O Arjuna, niyatam kuru karmatvam. Niyamit roop se aapka varnashram karma ko karo. Aapka varnashram duties ko karo. Karma jayo hi akarmana. Aapke liye karma sanyas se uchit hai. For you, O Arjuna, performing your karma is better than taking up to sannyas. Sharira yatra pichate na prasidyeda karmana. You will not even be able to maintain your body by giving up your prescribed duties. So then he says, then Arjuna may say, look, Krishna, you are pushing me to do to perform karma, right? But karma, the shastras very clearly say that karma will bind. So karma binds, everyone knows, right? So why are you pushing me to perform karma? So Krishna says, no, this is not the right understanding. Not all karma binds. When you perform karma in a detached way, while offering the activities to the Lord, then it does not bind. Yagyarthat karmano anyatra lokoyam karma bandana tadartam karma kaunteya mukta sangha samachar. If you perform your prescribed duties and offer the fruits to Krishna without being attached to the material fruits, that kind of an action does not bind you to this material world. Yagyarthat karmano anyatra lokoyam karma bandana. Any activity which is not Nishkama Karma Yoga is the Varnashram prescribed duties are performed and the fruits are offered to the Lord and one is detached from the fruits. Any other activity will bind one to this material world. So therefore he says that that's what he's indicating here. So then he says, the next verse, and these yagyas, so in Nishkama Karma Yoga, apart from one's occupational duties, there are also other kinds of ritualistic performances or yagyas, sacrifices that one has to perform according to one's varna and ashrama. So he says, sahayagya prajasrishtva purvavacha prajapatihi anena prashavishvadvam eshavostu ishtakamaduk. He says that Brahma, the this world, when he was creating bodies for the living entities, especially for human beings, along with their bodies, he also created particular yagyas. So he created particular yagyas. And by those yagyas, anena prashavishvadvam eshavostu ishtakamaduk. He says, may you prosper by this sacrifice and may it fulfill all your material desires. So even if you may have material desires, even if one, Arjuna may say, but someone may not be able to be detached from his, from the material fruits. He says, that's fine, no problem. Even if you may have material desires, one should try to fulfill it by performing their Varnashram duties. And because these Varnashram duties are very bona fide, created by Brahma himself. And how this yagyas work? Devan bhavayatanena te deva bhavayantu vaha parasparam bhavayantaha shreyah param avapsyata. So he says, by performing this sacrifice, a part of your sacrificial offering that you are offering primarily to Vishnu will go to the various demigods who are managing this material universe on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when these demigods get their share of sacrifice, then they will provide you with all the amenities, like Indra will provide you with rain and Agni will provide you with fire and all air. Fire related things and so on. You will get all the amenities from all the demigods. So in this way, there will be mutual cooperation you will attain the highest benefit. Right? Ishtan gogani vodeva dasyante yagya bhavita tair dattan apradayebhyo yo bhungte stena evasah. So the devatas, being very pleased with the sacrifices, will bestow upon you all enjoyment. But he who accepts all those enjoyment but fails to perform yagya to express his gratitude to the devatas is a
thief. Is a stena eva saha. Stena eva saha. Like that. This is where I know. Okay, and then he says, Yajyashishtashinashanto muchyante sarvakilbishaihi bhunjate te tvagam papa ye pachanti atmakarana. Says, those respectable people who eat the remnants of sacrifice are freed from all the sins. So which means, eat the remnants of sacrifice means, those who eat, bhunjate can mean eat, bhunjate can mean enjoy. Okay. Those who enjoy responsibly by offering sacrifices to please primarily Vishnu and also naturally all the demigods by the performance of sacrifice, and then they enjoy whatever comes as a result, they are freed from all sins. But those who utilize these amenities, one of the common things that people say is, Prabhu, this whole concept of yajna and the demigods being pleased by this yajna and all these things, na, this is all bogus. Why? They say, no one performs yajna. For that matter, even in India, in today's day and age, no one performs yajna. Everyone gets their amenities, right? So, or many people, they get their amenities. So, where is the question of the demigod being displeased? Then the practical earth, practically the whole earth should starve because, no one is performing yajna except for maybe some people who may be performing and some devotees who may be performing Sankirtan Yajna and the path of Bhakti by which they are directly walking the root of the tree. Apart from that, no one is performing any Yajna, so they should not be getting any amenities. So here you see, Krishna is not telling that if you don't perform Yajna, you will not get amenities. He says, if you enjoy without performing yajna, which means Krishna is telling that it is possible for you to enjoy now. Just like a thief can enjoy someone else's property till he is caught, then when he will be put into prison, he will no longer be able to enjoy even his own property. Right? So similarly, Krishna is not telling that those who do not perform yajna can never enjoy any amenity of this world. Krishna is not making such a statement. He says, abhi aap enjoy karo, phir baad mein aapko, you will have to suffer for it. So, for every enjoyment you are illegally indulging in, for all of that you in hell. Bunjate pachanti atmakarana. So therefore, this argument that people give that, oh, this whole process of, only if you perform yajna, you will get the amenities. Those who do not perform yajna cannot enjoy amenities. This is all bogus. So, the understanding is not complete. So Krishna does not say that one absolutely cannot enjoy any of the amenities of this world if he is not performing yajna. No, Krishna is not telling that. He is telling that one can enjoy, he may be able to enjoy, but all that enjoyment is poisoned enjoyment. All that enjoyment is poisoned. For every single thing he is enjoying, he has to go to hell and suffer. It's all waiting. So he is just awaiting his arrest, that's all. So he may think that, oh, abhi tak to arrest nahi hua, to jitna maja lootna hai, main loot leta hun. Loot sakta hai, but baad mein नरक में जाके भुगतना पड़ेगा पूरा. ही विल हैव टू सफर फॉर इट इन हेल. सो देयर फोर ही इज टेलिंग दैट सो कृष्णा अगेन आई विल ब्रिंग अस बैक ऑन ट्रैक स्पीकिंग अबाउट निष्काम कर्म योगा हियर. ही इज नॉट टॉकिंग अबाउट भक्ति योगा. ओके सो दिस इज वेयर वी पॉज्ड अवर डिस्कशन लास्ट वीक. Before we continue this discussion on Nishkama Karma Yoga, any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask, add? You can please raise your hands. One hand up. Yes, Shyamlal Prabhu.
So, Prabhuji, then yes, we were in college hearing Gaurang Prabhu's classes on Prabhu Gita. He would say that this Yajnatar Karmano Nyatra and Yajnas Vistasana Santo, here yeah, means Sankirtan Yajna. Because in Kali Yuga, you can do only Sankirtan Yajna. So, ye, I mean, how I thoda confused over it because you say this is applicable only to Nishkam Karma and it is not to do with Bhakti Yoga.
Well, or yeah, go ahead.
So, no, I mean, my question is whether that was just to make the understanding simple for us that it was my honest understanding was that yes, Yajnatar Karmano Nyatra, if you are doing whatever, if you are not doing Sankirtan Yajna, then it is all. And when we say Yajna Shishta Sina Santo, Yajna Shishta is you do Sankirtan Yajna, you offer to the Lord Shishta, and whatever you take as prasad is everything else is. Like that. That was my understanding. I mean,
no, as I mentioned, Srila Prabhupada, I don't know if you were there right from the beginning of the session. I did mention that Prabhupada simplifies this chapter for and presents. Each describes each of these verse as if it is relevant for devotees, or he explains it. He explains it as if it is, or in a way that is, it is applicable to devotees. Even though Krishna is talking to for the Nishkama Karma Yogis only, and Prabhupada also titles this chapter as Karma Yoga only. So, but the point is Karma Yoga is almost impossible to perform in this day and age, as I mentioned before. It is not possible. So therefore, Prabhupada does not bother to explain each of those verses, even those which are directly speaking about Nishkama Karma Yoga. He explains it in a way that it is, whatever is applicable to devotees, he explains it in that way. But in reality, Krishna is speaking about Karma Yoga, and that's how all the other acharyas are explaining. So now let us say, is there any relevance? I didn't say that there is absolutely no relevance. There is absolutely no relevance to there is absolutely no relevance to devotees in any of these verses. So now, for example, let me say, Yajna Shishtashina Santo Muchyante Sarvakil Bishaihi Bunjate Te Twagam Papa Ye Pachanti Atmakarana. So, Ye Bhakton Ke Liye, is this, how much of it is relevant? If you see, now my question to you, Shyamlal Prabhu, you can answer this question. What will happen to devotees if they eat unoffered food? You can share your thoughts. What will happen to devotees if they eat unoffered food?
The consciousness gets contaminated, basically.
So, correct. But do they get sinful reactions? Your voice is not audible, Prabhu.
No, it's not sinful reaction. It is the contamination of the mind, because your mind is getting contaminated. So,
yeah, but Krishna says, "Bunjate te twagam papa." You are eating only sins, he says. So, do they get sins? No. So that is the point. So the point is that will devotees be penalized for eating non-prasadam? Yes. So that is what Prabhupada is addressing there. Even devotees should not eat non-prasadam, even though it is not talking about that kind of prasadam. This is talking about yagyashishta prasadam, which is slightly different actually. So therefore, devotees will be penalized in the form of their consciousness being, as you rightly put, their consciousness will be contaminated by eating food which is not cooked for the pleasure of Krishna, offered for the pleasure of Krishna, and accepted and honored with gratitude for pleasing Krishna. But they will not get sins. But this verse clearly says, Bhunjate te twagam papa, because it is papa for Nishkam Karma Yogis, because they are still within the realm of papa and punya. So, therefore, it's not that this verse has no relevance to devotees, but in one sense, like for example, I know you have an elder brother. So if your father was telling your elder brother, "Arey, you should study very well and score good marks, only then you'll be able to crack your entrance exam." So your brother did science. So your father was referring to engineering entrance exam. So you are preparing for your medical entrance exam. So even though that statement that your father told was to your brother, and the entrance exam that he was referring to was engineering entrance exam, and it was not a statement made towards you, but still there is relevance, right? Your father wants you also to work very hard towards your medical entrance exam. So even though that very statement spoken by your father was to your brother, and the entrance exam that he was referring to was to engineering entrance exam, still, that statement has some relevance to you. When Krishna wants a Nishkama Karma Yogi to sincerely practice his Nishkama Karma Yoga, similarly, Krishna also wants a Bhakti Yogi to very sincerely practice his Bhakti Yoga. That way, you can draw parallels for every single verse of Nishkama Karma Yoga or Jnana Yoga to Bhakti Yoga. But that does not mean Krishna is actually speaking and addressing a Nishkama Karma Bhakti Yogi only. So Prabhupada, in that way, he does draw parallels to devotees' practices, to sadhakas' practices, through verses which are actually describing Karma Yoga only. And that's how all the other acharyas are explained. So therefore, if you see Bunjate te tu agam papa, that does not directly refer to devotees, because devotees are beyond karma. They are beyond karma. So this is the point that I wanted to emphasize. Is that relevant, Shyamlal Prabhu?
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you.
Yeah. Hare Krishna. Yes, Lokanath Prabhu.
So, Prabhuji, this being beyond karma is like every follower of every path would like to feel that they are special. So, is it that we are assuming that because being still conditioned soul, being affected by the modes of nature, and actually, for doctors, the profession is highly sinful. I'll give you one, because in our scriptures, mm-hmm. to charge for treatment, to charge for food, all mm-hmm. this is considered highly sinful. Mm-hmm. And I was seeing a YouTube video of near-death experience. There was a person mm-hmm. who learned from his guru natural medicine. Mm-hmm. His guru had told him not to charge money. Mm-hmm. But somehow he started charging 1 rupee. Mm-hmm. And he was from Delhi. And mm-hmm. he used to keep it in some gulag. He was not mm-hmm. using. Probably, as I remember, once he used it. Mm-hmm. And then he started falling sick for many months. He was sick. And finally, he dies. Mm-hmm. And then he goes to court of Yamraj. There they realize that he is the wrong person. A person of the same name nearby was supposed to come. Mm-hmm. So when he was leaving, the Lord Yamraj, the only thing that he told him was, mm-hmm. don't charge your patients. Mm. He was charging 1 rupee. And mm-hmm. so we are charging thousands of rupees, and our whole earning is based on basically sin only. Even if mm-hmm. we are ethical practice, although we like to assume that we are doing a great job, and in society nowadays they say that doctor job is a very benevolent job, whatever. But it's a highly mm-hmm. sinful job. So my worries is that what is the basically destiny? We might assume that we are devotee and won't be affected by karma, but what will be the destiny?
Prabhu, this is one point that I have been trying to emphasize from the beginning, that sin and there are, which if you see which shastra describes that for a medical professional to charge is a sin, that is mentioned according to the dharma shastras. Okay, so forget about charging being a sin. Now I will ask even more fundamental question. If you are to know, if you are even engaged in an occupation, if you are even engaged in an occupation which is not according to your nature, that even if you may not charge for your you may not charge for the treatment that you are giving to your patients, even still then you are performing sinful activity actually. So actually the path of this karma is very, very, very dangerous, actually. It's very, very complex. So, what to speak of charging? So, but the point is, the moment someone has accepted the path of bhakti, he is not governed by the dharma shastras, which talk in terms of dharma, dharma. That does not mean a devotee acts in an adharmic way, but a devotee sees what is anukul for my bhakti, I accept, what is pratikul for my bhakti, I reject. Anukulyasya sankalpa, pratikulyasya varjanam. So he does not think in terms of dharma and adharma. So if for his own sustenance has to perform a job, let's say a medical profession, for which even if he may charge money, but whatever money he gets, he uses it for maintaining his family, and the additional money he is using it directly for worshipping Krishna, then even though he may be charging for the purpose of treating patients, he will not get sinful reactions for that. Because no longer is a devotee governed by the dharma shastras, but he is governed by the bhakti shastras. So this we have to understand. So I am not telling a devotee will not be punished for his, because when I say that a devotee is beyond karma, it may seem like a devotee ko kuch bhi karega to chalega. Waisa nahi hai. Main waisa nahi bol raha hu. The punishment will not come through the law of karma. May give punishment to the devotee if he is doing something inappropriate. So the rule that a devotee has to follow is anukulyasya sankalpo pratikulyasya varjanam. तो रूल्स तो सबको है पर अलग अलग लोगों को अधिकार के अनुसार वो रूल चेंज हो जाता है. अगर कोई कर्माधिकारी हो उसके लिए रूल है धर्म से संकल्पो अधर्म से वर्जनम. कोई भी धर्म कार्य है उसको आपको करना ही पड़ेगा. कोई भी कुछ भी अधर्म कार्य हो तो आपको वर्जित है. ऐसा नहीं है कि भक्त के लिए है रूल कुछ नहीं है. भक्तों के लिए भी रूल है पर वो जो रूल क्या है आनुकूल्य से संकल्पो प्रातिकूल्य से वर्जनम. जो भी भक्ति के लिए अनुकूल चीज है उसको करना है. जो भी भक्ति के लिए प्रतिकूल चीज है वो नहीं करना है. एंड हु विल गाइड इट्स नॉट दैट धर्मशास्त्र का जो गुरु है वो गाइड नहीं करेंगे. भक्ति शास्त्र का जो गुरु है वो गाइड करेंगे. अगर अभी इफ अ बोनाफाइड डिवोटी गुरु इज telling that it is okay you can charge for your profession and take a bona fide bhakti shastra guru is telling then it is anukul for bhakti. A dharma shastra guru may not say nahi aap if you are doing if you are a doctor you cannot charge, he may say, because it is sinful. But a devotee is not governed by dharma shastras. A devotee is governed by bhakti shastras. So the rules are there but the rules are different. जो rules है अधिकार के अनुसार rules रहता है. अगर किसी को कर्म अधिकार है तो the rules are given by the धर्म शास्त्र. अगर वो भक्ति अधिकारी है तो उसका जो rules है भक्ति शास्त्रों के अनुसार रहता है. And a qualified भक्ति योगी गुरु will guide that person. So if actually to charge, if a devotee also should not charge, doctor should not charge, then definitely Srila Prabhupada and subsequently the bona fide disciples of Srila Prabhupada would have stopped his disciples from charging. I mean, doctor's profession is just one of the professions. There are so many other professions in which there are many do's and don'ts. So Prabhupada never ever focused on nahi ye profession mein ye nahi karna chahiye, wo profession mein wo nahi karna chahiye. Prabhupada did not go into the nitty-gritties and details of that, because the rules governing the rules given in bhakti shastras are quite different from the rules given in dharma shastras. That is the point. Is that relevant to
some things we try to follow, like some the thing is the streams like obstetrics in which there are abortions, so people try to avoid that. So some things we follow, I think, as per our own this thing. But one thing was, I was feeling that our lifestyle is not much different than other person, so-called non-devotees. We also spend on our family. We might go to temple sometime. It's not that most of the money we are donating, and we use the money for luxury, for comfort. We use cars, and depending on income, flight and everything. Mm-hmm. So it is not that there were devotees in time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like Murari Gupta, etc., who would live very simple. So it's not that we are taking minimum. We are trying to earn as much as possible. We might donate maybe 5% or whatever. The rest of it we are spending on ourselves only. So can it be justified, and can we get away with this type of lifestyle?
No. You cannot get away with that. Uska punishment hai Prabhu. Aap sahi bol rahe hain. Aap jo bol rahe hain na, ekdam sahi bol rahe hain. Uska punishment hai. Par punishment paap karma ke dwara nahi aayega. It will not come in the form of sinful reactions, but it will come in the form of a compromised process on the path of bhakti. Because jo karma adhikari hai, what is the goal of a karma adhikari? Mujhe paap nahi chahiye, punya chahiye. Punya ke dwara mein, I want to enjoy. That is his desire. So when you want to punish a karma adhikari, You take his punya away and give him papa. That is the punishment. Because a karmadhikari does not want to suffer and always wants to enjoy using that punya. So, whereas a bhakti adhikari, if he is trying to become very complacent in his practice, when he is spending more and more money for his own enjoyment and giving less and less to Krishna, he will also be punished. Not that he will not be punished, but he will not be punished by the law of karma. He will be punished directly by Krishna. And how he will be punished? Not that his punya will be taken and papa will be given. His progress on the path of bhakti will become compromised. He will not progress properly on the path of bhakti. And that is the punishment which will hurt the devotee the most. That point. Is that relevant, bro?
Okay, thank you.
Hare Krishna. Okay. There is a question in the chat box. But Prabhu, in 3.10, Krishna also says that by yajna only you will get all desired things. So why do people get things without yajna? So they get desired things also, and along with that they get a lot of undesired things also, like cancer and all other kinds of diseases, because they did not perform yajna. Like that. There is another question. Devotees were told to not do job which is close to breaking the four regulative principles. Is it valid for devotees? Yeah, ideally, devotees should try to choose a job which is not overtly sinful. So definitely they should not be, should try their best to not do a job which is overtly sinful. But that is not the only consideration. They have to consider so many other things, you know, their family situation and all those things. And the point is they should take guidance, proper guidance from their guru and their senior devotees and accordingly act. But yes, as far as possible, one should try to not take up a job in which there is overt breaking of principles. Like, you know, can there be a devotee bartender? I mean, certainly not. You know, that is, you're directly feeding liquor people. You know, that is certainly not, you know, not a very favorable profession for sure. But having said that, every profession can indirectly be utilized for some nefarious things. Like, can a devotee work in a steel plant? Yes. Oh, steel plant mein kya hai? Chalega. Par wo steel ko use karke koi agar chaku bana diya aur wo chaku ko ek murderer ne kareed liya aur wo chaku se khoon kar diya usne. To abhi wo chaku kidhar se aaya? Steel plant se aaya. Steel plant mein kaun kaam kar raha hai? डिवोटी काम कर रहा है तो स्टील प्लांट का जॉब को भी छोड़ देना चाहिए क्या? मतलब ऐसा नहीं है. मतलब यू नो इट इज नॉट लाइक दैट. सो देयरफॉर यू नो यू कैन नॉट गो टू डीप इनटू दिस. यू नो दिस इज देन दैट वे यू कैन नॉट परफॉर्म एनी जॉब फॉर दैट मैटर. राइट. सो देयरफॉर इट इज नॉट सो मच. But as far as possible, the consciousness of the devotee should be such that he should not be engaged in performing activities an occupation which is overtly breaking the principles, which is overtly sinful. That one should be very clear. Otherwise, one cannot overthink and over, I am in a software company. So suddenly mujhe ek project aa gaya. Like my sister was working in Infosys, and suddenly one day project changed and she had to do a project for a company. The client was a gambling company. Now, can she just give up her job like that? It's not that, she does not definitely want to work for a gambling company, but especially at a time when there is severe recession, when there is no availability of job, a devotee cannot suddenly give up that job also. It's not so easy. So you have to consider all that. And the devotee may not have that level of surrender also, and that level of faith in Krishna also. And in the beginning stages, it is not very easy to have that level of faith. So therefore you have to consider all those things, a software job is not an overtly sinful job, but definitely it may be possible that directly or indirectly, somehow or other, it is connected to some sinful activity. In Kali Yuga, any profession you do, directly or indirectly, somehow or other, it will be connected to some sinful activity. Even a paurohitya bhi karenge, purohit bhi banenge. Aapka jo client hai, he will make you the purohit, and your client may be engaging in some nefarious activities by his profession. So these are things which are, it all depends on, at least for devotees, it as much as possible depends on their sincerity. Because Krishna is Saragrahi. So it depends on their sincerity. So if the devotee is sincere, as much as possible, he is trying to maintain a clean profession. Indirectly, if by his profession, some nefarious activities do happen, Krishna will protect. So this is the understanding. Okay. Let us start today's discussion. So till now, we have just been sort of recapping what we have done till now. So let us start today's verse. We will try to complete at least one verse today. So here, the next verse Krishna says, Annad bhavanti bhutani parjanyad anna sambhavah yagyad bhavati parjanyo yagya karma samudbhavah. Let's read the next verse also, because both verses are connected. Karma brahmodbhavam viddi brahmakshara samudbhavam tasmat sarvagatam brahma nityam yagye pratishtitam. Okay, two verses are connected. Let's read both the verses together. Annat bhavanti bhutani. All creatures arise from food. This does not literally mean all creatures arise from food. It means all creatures are dependent on food. Arise here refers to dependence. Okay. All creatures depend on food. So now 3.14 and 15 describe how the Lord is connected to all yagyas, and therefore yagya should never be yagya should never be neglected. Okay, yagya should never be neglected. Just give me one second, please. So this 13th and 14th verse talks about how the Lord is connected to all the yagyas, and therefore yagya should never be neglected. So first he says that he describes a cycle. So he says, humans
are dependent on food. Okay. Annad bhavanti bhutani parjanyad anna sambhava. Food arises from rain, because without rain you cannot get food. Okay. Yagyad bhavati parjanyo. Rain arises from sacrifice. Okay, right? When you perform sacrifice, then you get rain. Yajna karma samudbhavaha. And which sacrifice who has to perform depends on prescribed duties. Okay. So, there are prescribed duties. You know, a Vaishya has to perform particular prescribed duties, particular yajna, according to his prescribed things. And Brahmana has to perform particular prescribed duties and a particular sacrifice according to his prescribed duties, like that. So humans are dependent on food. Food comes from rain. Rain comes from sacrifice. Which sacrifice to perform? It depends on particular prescribed duties according to particular Varna. Then in the next he says, karma brahmodbhavam viddi. What karma who has to perform? That arises from the Vedas. Okay. So prescribed duties arise from the Vedas. Karma brahmodbhavam viddi. Brahma akshara samudbhavam. And the Vedas arise from Brahman or Krishna. Brahman. Okay. In that way, he says, human beings performing sacrifice is directly connected to Brahman, or Brahman here refers to the Lord. Therefore, he says that tasmat, therefore, sarvagatam Brahma, the all-pervading Brahma, nityam, is eternally yajna pratishtitam. He is eternally situated in yajna. Therefore, this all-pervading Brahman is eternally situated in the sacrifice. So, therefore, sacrifice has to be performed. Therefore, he says. So this 3.14 and 15 describes how the Lord is connected to all the yajnas, and therefore, yajna should never be neglected. So, annad bhavanti bhutani, parjanyad anna sambhava, yajnad bhavati parjanyo, yajna karma samudbhava, karma brahmodbhavam viddi, brahma akshara samudbhavam. Tasmat sarvagatam brahma nityam yajna pratishtitam. In this way, so the Brahman is always connected to the sacrifice in this way. So here in the explanation he says, one should perform the yajna because it causes the cyclic movement of the universe. You know, cyclic movement of the universe. This is the cycle that is being described. From food, living entities exist. Food is the cause of the bodies of the entities, and from food arises the health of the bodies of the living entities with transformation into semen and blood. Right? So, from food arises the health of the bodies of the living entities with transformation into semen and blood. And the cause of the food is rain. Right? If rain is not there, food will not come. By the rain, food is produced. The cause of rain is the yajna. By people performing yajna, the clouds produce sufficient rain. The cause of yajna is dharma, prescribed action. You know, particular actions are prescribed for particular varanas. The yajna is produced from the actions of the priest and the patron. Patron means the yajaman. So the yajna is produced from the actions of the priest and the patron. Yajna karma samudbhavan. So a particular karma has to be performed to accomplish that yajna. And then he says, the cause of this action is the Veda. So the Vedas say what action the priest has to perform, what action the yajaman has to perform according to their adhikaras, according to their varanas. The actions related to the yajna arise from hearing the statements of the rules enunciated in the Vedas. So the Vedas say what karma has to be performed. Karma brahmodbhavam viddi. The cause of the Vedas is Brahman, as the Vedas arise from the Lord.
So from the breathing of the Lord, the Vedas come. So Brahma Akshara Samudbhavan. Akshara refers to the Akshara Brahma, the Supreme Lord. So the Vedas come from the breathing of the Supreme Lord. Right? The Shruti says, Asya Mahato Bhutasya Nishvasitam Eta Drigvedo Yajurvedaha Samavedo Ata Angirasaha. The Rig, Yajur, Sama and the Atharva Vedas are the breathing of the Supreme Lord, says Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Therefore, Tasmad Sarvagatam Brahma, the all-pervading Lord, Nityam Yajya Pratishtitam, is present in the Yajya. This means that, so this is, what is the purport? What is the purport of 3.14 and 15? This means that by the performance of Yajna, one attains the Lord eventually. So here, one attains the Lord means one attains the Lord in the form of Brahma Jyoti. Because he is talking about Nishkama Karma Yoga. So by a Nishkama Karma Yogi, by performance of Yajna, his heart becomes purified. When his heart becomes purified, he directly meditates on the Atma and Paramatma. And by meditation on Atma and Paramatma, he attains liberation. That is the meaning. Though by cause and effect, from food to the Lord, many items have been mentioned. Among them all, the yajna is mentioned by the scriptures as a necessary performance for the human being. So therefore, even though many things are there, but the necessary thing that the duty, the humans are actually obliged to perform the sacrifice. Okay, like that. So that's why it is mentioned here in this way. This process is mentioned in the Smriti as well. So this is not just Shruti, but Smriti also in Manusmriti, which is a Dharma Shastra. It says, Agnau prastahutihi samyag adityam upatishtate aditya jayate vrishtihi vrishterannam tatap prajaha. The offering of the fire goes to the sun. From the sun arise rain, food and bodies of the living entities. So this is the same thing is indicated in Manusmriti also. Like that. Okay, we have 5 more minutes. Let's complete this one last verse. So he says, Evam pravartitam chakram nanu vartayati hayah aghayur indriya ramo Mogam Partasa Jivati. So Evam Yaha Na Anuvartayati. One who does not follow Evam Pravartitam Chakram. One who does not follow this sacrifice, this cycle of sacrifice, this chakram. So humans they may take food. Humans are dependent on food. Food is dependent on rain. So humans may get rain. They may eat food, but in order to get rain, they may not perform sacrifice. Okay. And for performing sacrifice, they may not perform their prescribed duties. For understanding the prescribed duties, they may not study the Vedas. And in this way, they will not attain Brahman because they are not following this. But if they use the rain and food without performing sacrifices, then they are stopping this cycle. And by evam pravartitam chakram na anuvartayati, one who does not follow this chakra, evam pravartitam takram chakram na anuvartayati hayaha, then what happens? Aghayu, his life is agha. His life is engaged in performing sins. Instead, leads a life of sin. Indriya Ramo, he enjoys his senses. Not that he will not be able to enjoy his senses because he is not performing the yajna, but that enjoyment without yajna will lead to aghayur, a life of sin. Saha mogham jivati, he lives in vain, which means he thinks that he can continue to enjoy in this way, but at the end of life, he will go to hell. That's what it means. So he says, this verse speaks of the sin involved in not performing the sacrifice. He who does not partake of the instituted cycle, moving from moving from beginning to end, that is from yajna to rain, from rain to food, from food to nourishment of men, from men to performance of yajna, from yajna to rain. He who does not institute this cycle by performance of yajna leads a life full of sin. Who will not sink to hell? So he will definitely sink to hell. That's what he says. So ideally, humans should perform sacrifice. So this is the cycle. Humans should perform sacrifice. From sacrifice comes the rain. From rain comes the food. And food nourishes the humans. And the human performs sacrifice. From sacrifice comes rain. From rain comes food. From food nourishes the humans. And in this way, one who does not follow this cycle, but directly relishes the food and the rain without performing sacrifice, he is living a life of sin. That's what it means. Okay, we still have 2 minutes time. Any final comments, questions before we wind up for the day? Anything anyone would like to share as that? Yes, Vahini Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Yes,
Prabhuji, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Prabhuji, this cycle, I was just remembering the Govardhan Leela. So Krishna himself, went against this whole thing, by lifting Govardhan heel, that he said, Govardhan is, we should worship Govardhan, rather than this rain and sacrifice cycle. So, how do we, as devotee of this current age, how do we understand? Because it might be, contextual at some point of time, when people were dependent on the agriculture. We still are dependent on agriculture, but, we kind of don't see the connection now. It has lost its relevance because, most of the times, the kids nowadays, they don't see the connection that, the water is coming in taps and, the electricity is running the whole show. So, how do we interpret and how do we see it from that angle?
Well, food is still coming from food is still coming from the land and agriculture, and you may say water is coming from borewell or whatever, but the borewell water is getting replenished only due to rain. So right. Ultimately, just because kids cannot see, kids cannot see so many things, but kids are learning, right? Kids right. See what is there. How a computer is functioning, but they're learning. So similarly, it depends on what we choose to teach our kids. So otherwise, kids will not, see, not everything is obvious. Most of the things are not obvious, but we are endeavoring to understand many things which are not obvious. So you are a speech therapist. So many things are not obvious in your science also. If I cannot go and sit on your chair and practice speech therapy because I have not learnt it. And the science is not so obvious for a layman. So similarly, right. A lot of things are not very obvious to the layman. It all depends on, most of the things are not obvious. So that is why we have schools. That is why we have parents. That is why we have other kinds of elders who will endeavor to teach the children and others the things which are not so obvious. So now it is in our hands as to what we choose, what kind of non-obvious things we choose to teach our children. So it's the onus is on us.
Right, right. And the first part that Krishna himself,
that's a very context. Yeah, that's a very contextual thing. There are multiple levels in which you can understand. One way of seeing it is Krishna is telling, hey, you are all devotees, just water the root. Govardhan is non-different from Krishna. So, yatataror moola nishechanaina, if you just water the root, everything is taken care. You don't have to specifically do all these yajnas, just please me. If you please me, yasmin te jagat tushtam. If Krishna is pleased, then practically all the demigods are invariably pleased. You can see it from that perspective also, the whole instruction of Krishna. Of course, Krishna is instructing the devotees there. So you can see it in that sense also. For devotees to perform those kind of yajnas, not necessary. That is the point. So they can directly please Krishna by performing bhakti. That is the point. Is that relevant, Madhu? I am not able to hear you, Madhu. Is that relevant?
Yes, Prabhuji, yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, there is a question in the chat box. It means everyone today in Kali Yuga is living the life of sin, because at first there is no such knowledge, and what people know is just to work hard to get money and resources and enjoy. Yes, practically everyone is living a life of sin. There is no doubt about it. Most of them. Then another question. In this section, is it talking about sacrifice to demigods or Vishnu? It's talking about, sacrifice to Vishnu only, in which the demigods also get their share. That is what is being spoken about here. Okay, I think we will pause here. We have already crossed the stipulated time. So thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. We will continue this discussion next Friday. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Vishnu Chakra Kurpat ki jai. Shri Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.